Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference to Mr. Deepak Agarwal from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Deepak, sir.
Thank you, Rohit. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, I welcome you all to Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us senior management represented by Mr. Sumer Ghumman, MD SEPPL, Mr. Kabir Ghumman, Head of Manufacturing and Engineering, Mr. Rajeev Ranjan, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Kanav Anand, Head of Sales and Marketing. Without taking much of time, I would like to hand over the floor to Rajeev Ranjan for their opening remarks, post which we open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Deepak, and a warm welcome to Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited Quarter 2 Financial Year 2024 and Half Year 2024 investor conference call. Before we delve into the financial highlights, let me introduce key members of our management team who are here joining me today in addressing your queries. Mr. Sumer Ghumman, Managing Director of SEPPL, a subsidiary of Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited. Mr. Kabir Ghumman, Head of Manufacturing and Engineering. Mr. Kanav Anand, Head of Sales and Marketing. As we reflect on our financial performance, Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited has demonstrated resilience amidst global challenges and global market headwinds. Quality growth and deep promoter involvement in the business have been at the core of our journey. Here are the highlights from Half Year 2024. Revenue from operations. In Half Year 2024, we achieved a revenue of rupees 225.47 crore, reflecting 11.31% year-on-year growth. Our EBITDA margin for Half Year 2024 reached rupees 56.81 crore, with a 14.60% year-on-year growth, reflecting our commitment to operational excellence. Profit after tax. In Half Year 2024, our PAT was rupees 39.72 crore, marking an 11.92% year-on-year growth. These numbers reflect our commitment to quality growth, underpinned by our control mechanism for optimizing operating leverage. This has led to yielding consistent, healthy EBITDA and profit margins, reinforcing our financial stability. In the second quarter of fiscal year 2024, revenue from operations increased by 7.18% to reach rupees 112.40 crore. EBITDA grew by 9.82% year-on-year. Our EBITDA as a percentage of revenue improved to 25.20% in Half Year 2024. Looking ahead, we anticipate market improvements as our domestic market has shown a significant 25% growth. Despite global uncertainties, we expect a growth range of 10% to 40% post Q4 financial year 2024. Moreover, we are in advanced discussion for volume contracts with renowned industry leaders. Our legacy experience in the business has enabled us to navigate challenges and seize opportunities effectively. Our potential joint venture with Metalor, a Swiss leader in precious metals, aligns with our journey towards sustainable growth as we established a feasibility report, will explore how Metalloy's extensive global network positions us for substantial volume growth in the silver contact segment. We are also delighted to share that Shivalik is the recipient of the One Eaton Supply 2023 Excellence Award winner, awarded by Eaton Corporation at the Eaton 2023 SEM Conference, USA. Shivalik stands among the select state of 12 global suppliers shortlisted from Eaton's global supplier base to be granted the Supplier Excellence Award. In addition, Shivalik received the prestigious Most Resilient Partner 2023 accolade at Schneider Electric Global Supplier Day, Hong Kong, underscoring our steadfast dedication to achieving excellence at a global standard. We sincerely appreciate your support in our journey towards delivering sustainable growth and value to all stakeholders. Let us begin with the question answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Praful Kumar from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Congratulations on your results and just few questions. First is the AGM as well, and you know, in your presentation you talk about revenue capacity post expansion of close to say 1500-1600 crores in terms of, you know, where you can potentially take your revenue. So I want to understand, you know, the visibility on each of the businesses in terms of achieving the potential. Maybe we can do business by business, shunt resistor, thermostat, biometal strips, and electrical contacts. Globally, how the markets are behaving, what rate are the markets growing, and how you guys will scale up to those revenue targets that you have set for yourself. That's the first question. Hello?
Yeah, hello. This is Kanav Anand here.
Yeah.
So we are definitely looking forward to an expansion in terms of our top line and bottom line. We've, as we had mentioned in our AGM also, that we are in the middle of some global, I would say, downward trend, which you are also seeing in our results as well, which is due to several factors. But what we can foresee is that the indication from all our customers are that they are investing in adding capacities. They are investing in setting up more factories to kind of meet the basic trend and demand that they're expecting coming forward, which of course is related to e-mobility, which is related to energy storage, renewable energy applications, and of course the upgradation of infrastructure, which we expect that is going to impact and help us achieve our targets going forward in the next 3 to 5 years. In fact, we are already, as we mentioned in our press release also, we are also working, we've started having customer engagements stating futuristic plans from them, and we are in the process of trying to finalize contracts which will help us mitigate, which will help us achieve our targets for the next 3 to 5 years.
Sure.
I just quickly add another line to this. So the visibility, as we have mentioned or talked about in the past, even during the AGM, of what we see, you know, the capacities that we have created, and we see a forecast, we see in the future that our capacities can take us up to a certain revenue level. We feel that that still pretty much holds in the same way that it was what we had mentioned. We just see that, you know, these two or three quarters have caused a bit of a delay in those. In the longer run, which is a 4-5 year horizon or 6 year horizon, in that we don't see much of a change. It is a, I would call this a smaller, sort of a shorter term issue. So our visibility is pretty much the same as it was, as we have discussed earlier.
Sure. No, that was a question that, you know, what gives the confidence to you guys that, you know, 1-2 quarters of destocking or whatever is behind now, maybe another 3 months. So your interactions, number of new client additions, your content per vehicle or, you know, on the EV side for that business, new opportunities like smart metering. So can you give us some granularity on the conviction that comes in for you to grow your revenues from, say, 10-15% growth to, because what you're talking about are 20% CAGR, maybe higher, if you want to, you know, go to 5 times your revenue, what you are today in next 4-5 years. So when do you think, you know, the J-curve hits the top line momentum broadly, and what are the levers for that? And secondly, will be the plant 3 that comes in. So broadly, what can be the opportunity there? What kind of margins and ROC that, you know, that plant can throw?
Right. I think I mentioned to you just now that our customer engagement has already increased as compared to last quarters. We are seeing that the movement has started happening. Of course, they're definitely more positive. Their outlook is a lot better than what we saw last quarter. We still feel that we might have another quarter or two where we could probably see some constraints, but when it comes to next financial year, the confidence level is very high from the customers as well as from our side. Also, I think on certain specific applications, like for example smart metering, we all know that the push is there now. We have already started seeing tenders coming out. The customers, the suppliers are building their capacity. They've already started rolling out our orders. So that engagement has already begun. And that's why we are very confident that our domestic market will continue to grow. And we are trying to kind of leverage this global downward trend by using these opportunities in certain markets like the Indian market. And that's why we feel that our overall vision and overall horizon remains the same.
One last question, then I'll come back in queue. On
may we request you
side,
to return to the question queue for the follow-up question?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions on my end. You know, we are seeing inventory destocking, and you also mentioned that this constraint might, you know, stay for 1-2 more quarters. So just, can you give more color around, you know, why the extent of the inventory levels that were there at the customer level, which is, you know, causing us, you know, say a short-term pain for, you know, another 6 months. And also, basis your discussion with your customers, are they seeing their end demand also softening because of the macro issues, or it's just primarily inventory that is rationalizing and the end demand is more intact? How should we interpret the demand situation?
See, actually, during the pandemic, what was happening, everything, all the entire supply chain, there was a constraint there. So everybody was, you know, ordering more, trying to order more in advance and trying to keep more and more stock, because a small component, like, but a key component like what we produce, what can bring to a halt in production of an entire automobile, for example.
And so a lot of overstocking took place at the time because of supply chain issues. We see that normalizing, which is actually quite a healthy sign if you really look at it from another angle. It's a very healthy sign. Those are normal numbers that will come in. We see that that is actually the only factor. Other than that, there are some macro factors as well, but those have a very small impact on the entire thing. The primary initial slowdown that we have seen is more related to the inventorization.
And got just it. One thing that I would like to add here is also the slight imbalance in the inventory. Basically, you still see that semiconductor is still a shortage situation. No matter our customer would have all the other components, but if they don't have a semiconductor, the whole line is on a standstill. So I think a lot of inventory correction is happening. We still have certain issues when it comes to certain availability of certain specific important components in the whole supply chain, which has kind of created this imbalance. And of course, what Sumer said, certain macro factors have also impacted that, but we, in the medium to long term, we feel that the megatrends are very strong to kind of push the demand for these components again.
Got it. And on the smart meter opportunity in India, you mentioned there's a pickup. So can you quantify what the, you know, say a year back, what was the tendering that you were seeing? And at this point in time, how has that picked up? Some more quantitative numbers around that?
I think we are anticipating that year 2024, next financial year, they should be making at least around 20 million smart meters on an average year on year.
Got it. This is the overall opportunity.
Yeah.
And basis, you know, the market share that we have today, how much of the market do you think we can basically capture?
I think it's very much linked as what we had explained the last time, last call also, is about how much the capacity relay manufacturers will build in within the industry. But we are looking at manufacturers and suppliers who are building capacities, and we anticipate that the government put the kind of push that the government has to kind of have Make in India product line, more and more thrust will be to localize market requirements. And I think from that perspective, we hope to kind of achieve a sizable market share.
Okay. And just to get a sense of what the revenue split is, so you had mentioned something in the last phone call, you had given the shunt revenue split. I just wanted to re-clarify my understanding. Is it that the automotive is roughly around 40% of sales, of which around half is BMS? And smart meters is another 40%, and the balance 20% is energy storage and motor. Is that the broad split of our shunt business?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and within the smart meters of 40%, how much of that would be domestic and how much is international?
Domestic, as of now, I don't have the exact number right now in front of me, but it would not be more than 15 to 20%.
Okay, so 15 to 20% of that
the automotive BMS business that we're doing, yeah.
Okay, of the overall smart meters.
Yeah.
Okay. And just one final question. You know, last call you mentioned that there's scope for a lot of operating leverage if you know, when we get to our revenue milestone. So just wanted to understand in our P&L, what would the share of fixed cost be?
Yeah, so if you see the P&L, there are average in the range of 11 to 13% is the fixed cost. And it is our endeavor to control the cost at the maximum level, keeping in view the business scenario on quarter to quarter, which gives us at least an improvement in both EBITDA as well as PAT margin.
Got it. So 11 to 13% of sales is fixed cost.
Yes.
Got it. Great. I thank you for addressing my questions. I will join back.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Hello. Yes, you're very much audible, yes.
All right. So my question is following up from the previous participant's question as well. What I want to understand was when you say 40% of the split in shunts is smart meters. So what I want to understand is there any portion of biometals that also goes into smart meters at all?
No, the thermostatic biometals don't have any application in smart meters.
Okay, and so we're seeing year-on-year the shunt avenue for Q2. Sorry?
But of course our biometallic contacts have a lot of potential and application in smart meters.
Correct, sir. So what I want to understand is year on year from Q2 FY23 to FY24, we've seen the shunt avenue basically be one and the same, right? And what I want to understand is there has been no demand uptick from the domestic smart meter side this year as well. I understand that automobiles and the other sectors are going a bit slow, but even from the smart meter side, there's no uptick.
As I was saying that it has started now. We are seeing a movement in the industry when it comes to smart metering now. And as I mentioned in my last quarterly review as well, that the domestic market is still kind of getting ready and building capacities to be able to fulfill the required demand. And we see that next year should be the year where we actually see the market starting to kind of actually realize what the demand is.
So just a follow-up on that, next year what sort of portion of your shunt revenue do you see coming from smart meters and what portion of your total revenue do you see coming from shunts? Hello?
Okay, so you mean to say what portion of the business or the total shunt would be smart meter application, am I right?
Next year, yeah, for the next fiscal, FY24 end.
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to our shunt for the metering business, I think we would be able to, we are looking at trying to double it for next year for the smart metering application.
Correct.
So what we're doing today is what we would be doing 2x in the next calendar year.
Correct. That's fantastic. Also, just one last question. You've signed this new JV with Metalor, right? We already have a JV with ArcelorMittal and that is also with regards to the electrical contacts. What I want to understand is the differential between what we are doing with ArcelorMittal in the JV and this new MOU that we have signed with Metalor.
No, I'll just make a little correction there. The joint venture that we have with Arcelor is nothing to do with electrical contacts. That's an industrial clad business that's separate. And regarding Metalor, that's a feasibility study stage where we are at, which will eventually lead to an MOU. So we are at the stages of just pre-signing of the MOU. So it will be signed soon.
Correct. So by and large, what is the plan here? Like, what are we trying to do with Metalor? Is what I'm trying to understand.
You see, Metalor is I'm not sure if you're aware, but I'll just give a brief. Background, Metalor is one of the largest players when it comes to the electrical contact as well as precious metal refining business. It's a market leader and it is the parent company is a Japanese company called Tanaka, which is also a global leader in these materials. Using these two companies' expertise in these areas, club with Shivalik's dominance in this low and medium voltage electrical market, you know, we can achieve a lot of things together and it is working out. It is potentially looking at as a very good partnership opportunity. Further details as we go along, sign MOUs, etc. Until then, I will not be able to disclose too many internal details about it. But as time goes along, we will be able to share more of it as it develops. But this is where it stands as of now.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Dave from Samvad Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for providing the opportunity. Congratulations on good set of numbers in challenging market environment. My question is basically we see a drop in other expenses. So can you explain basically what resulted despite volume and everything going up? What was the main factor for other expenses being declined? If I refer to presentation slide, we see consolidated.
You see now post COVID, the supply chain has started corrected in terms of pricing. So there is one major factor where it is going down, and that's why you are seeing the other expenditure is comparatively for the first quarter less than almost 3 to 5%. So it is one of the reasons is the supply chain cost. Earlier it used to be higher, whether you were supplying through air or sea. The cost of the supply was higher. Now it is reducing or correcting, I can say, correcting at this moment. That's why the other expenditure we are now maintaining at a pre-COVID level.
Okay. And that was the main factor for the decline in the expenditure?
Yes.
Okay. And the second question is, well, whatever you can disclose, such a two kind of thing, but would we be looking at in the new MOU which will be signing, would we be looking at some kind of new CAPEX facility to start, new plant to start, or it would be like we will be doing some kind of same facility being utilized, whatever you can disclose?
So the idea behind it is actually to create a world-class organization, a world-class setup, something that is not just one of the top, and you have the potential to be one of the top in this field in India, but also possibly across the globe. So in order to do that, of course, some CAPEX will be required. But again, at this point, it's hard to quantify how much it would be. A lot of facilities already exist, so it will only be a relatively smaller CAPEX. But again, hard to say at this point what it would be. But to answer your question, yes, there will be additional CAPEX involved.
Fair enough. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. First one being, why is there profit share from JV dropped down so significantly from the like of around 12 million last year to barely 1 million this year? Hello?
Yeah. So you were talking about the profit sharing of the joint venture. So last year their business was good and they have done half year almost 1 crore, but this year they have closed down 60 crores. So as they are supplying to North America and European markets, so their business for the half year almost reduced or downsided by 40 to 50% range. That's why their profit sharing also get reduced by that percentage.
Sir, this business pertains to the contacts business, right? The share of JV.
No, this joint venture, we are having three businesses. Two is a subsidiary. This is joint venture business you are talking about. And joint venture is a ArcelorMittal with Shivalik. Innovative Glass Solution is the name of the company. They are having their separate business line that is called industrial clad business.
Okay, so sir, what is the follow-up question on this? How do you expect this business to turn around in the next couple of quarters and for the next coming year? Will it pick up or how do you expect it?
Yes, they are hopeful that at the time, because you see, due to degrowth or I can say to some extent, which is many signal from the North America and the European market, everybody is suffering and mostly they are supplying to these regions. And they are hopeful that in the coming quarters they will correct it to some extent, not completely.
Okay. And sir, secondly, why have our gross margins dipped in this quarter? Any particular reason?
Yes, it's a combination of, as we talked earlier also, there is a simplified reason of product mix. And this time we are supplying I mentioned more than the shunt in this quarter. So product mix is one of the key component of reducing gross margin by a percentage.
Okay, so is it due to the product mix?
Yes.
So, sir, this time we have done more of bimetals as compared to shunts. So, I mean, how do you foresee the further upcoming quarters? Will the mix remain similar or will it change?
I think it, for the upcoming quarter, it could be very very similar to what we are seeing. But of course, it could. We are hopeful that next financial year, things will start reversing.
Okay, so earlier we used to do a 50-50, right, on the shunt and bimetal side. So by when will we be reaching those levels?
I think it will take us a few quarters to get back to where we were originally. So I think we should look at next financial year.
What indications we are getting from the market, from the customers?
Got it. Sir, just a follow-up on that. I mean, why is it that the shunt revenue is going down? I mean, is it due to any, the orders are drying up or how is it? I mean, how's the order book? How's our capacity utilization currently? I mean,
it's very simple. As we, like e-mobility and BMS and the products that we go, are go in automotive, the West is always a leader. So if you see the macroeconomics, the macro indications, there is geopolitical situation and as well as the inflationary trends and interest rates increasing, we are seeing that there is a drying up of the orders in the short term horizon. But everybody is confident that things will turn around quickly.
I wouldn't call it, it wouldn't necessarily
Mr. Akash,
be...
may we request you to return to the question queue for the follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Sharma from Nivesha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. What was the contribution of domestic business in first half and what revenue contribution we are expecting for full year in domestic market, and which sector is driving growth in domestic market?
Yeah, you see, currently the contribution from the domestic market, as we have explained in our press release also, it is in the biomedical sector. And that has been growing due to real estate growth, and we have been growing almost by in the range of 20 to 25%.
And what was total contribution in total business?
So currently, the domestic contribution, the whole mix is 40%.
And sir, what are key reasons for slowdown in US market, and our business is down due to slow order from single client, or overall volume are down with from all clients?
It is distributed, not from a single client. It is due to the degrowth of the market, not any particular customer. It is distributed among the customer and among the geographies also.
You see, it's a more demand-related issue. If it was, it would be a more worrisome situation if, you know, we were losing out on business to another competitor or something like that. Since those are not the reasons for the slowdown, these are certain factors related to the market trend. As we mentioned a few times earlier, part of it comes from the over-inventorization aspect of it. Some part of it comes from general slowdown in the EVs. But we have positive outlook and forecast from our customers. But for a quarter or two more after that, and we've already been asked to prepare certain things, so we feel confident that this is a short-term thing.
Okay.
If we were actually losing because of some other reasons, losing out to other because of pricing or etc., those would have been very dangerous. That would have been a dangerous place to be in, and that is, we are not even close to anything like that. So we feel positive about it. In fact,
so we are not losing any clients.
No. In fact, we are adding new developments as we speak. In fact, what this time has given us a beautiful opportunity to actually work on a lot of processes, process improvements, as well as developments for other customers, which we were finding hard to do at an earlier stage because we were running
at much higher capacity utilization. So this has actually been a good time for us to improve certain things.
And sir, what is the capacity utilization of bimetal division?
About 34-33%.
Okay, overall capacity utilization is 34%. And sir, do we expect domestic business to go to 50% plus in next 2 years or so?
No, we don't. We expect to see bigger growth in the longer run in a 2 to 3 year period coming from export only. The domestic market is slow to grow, but most of our large scale future opportunities are in export.
Okay, so like we are expecting good growth from smart meter market.
May we request you to come back to the question queue for the follow up questions?
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Satatru Chakraborty. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations on a decent set of numbers. I have actually two questions, but since all my colleagues have already asked operational questions, I will focus more on the accounting bit. The first question is on the other income piece in the P&L statement. I think one of my colleagues asked about other expenses. My question is really around the other income side, because I think year on year for the quarter, there is not a lot of fluctuation, but for the half year, there is. So could you provide us some flavor on what exactly is contained here and how should we look at this moving ahead?
Yeah, so basically other income constitutes forex gain. So 90% of other income we are having from forex gain and another 10% is from some small job work that we are doing for some of the vendors. So, and this is continuing. If you see year on year, our other income is improving due to control over the forex management, and that's why we are having a good kitty as a percentage, almost as a percentage of a scale or revenue we are adding into the bottom line by having forex gain.
Yeah, that is helpful. And I know that Shivalik has invested a lot in forex management. My second and last question is again coming to the balance sheet, because I must really congratulate the management to very nicely and tightly manage working capital. I really see the change quarter on quarter for the last year and a half. My question is really on the long-term and short-term borrowings, right? So I see that certain long-term borrowings have come off, but the short-term borrowings have come off even drastically. So my question really is there a finance strategy that the management is thinking for SB, for Shivalik in the long term? Is there any associated tax implications for that? Meaning to say that are you planning to go down to completely zero leverage in the long run and not have any debt on your books whatsoever? Or what exactly is the rationale for this?
No, see, for the manufacturing industry and being in this industry, it's a working capital intensive industry. We need to maintain some inventory for a longer period. So we will not zero out on the working capital segment, but yes, management has a clear vision to zero on the long-term borrowings, and we are going towards it. So this quarter, it was very good for us to maintain and to reduce by a certain percentage or certain numbers, almost 50% in terms of long-term and similarly for the short-term borrowings.
Okay. This is very helpful. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, in your press release, you've mentioned that our growth post Q4 FY24 might be in the range of 10 to 40%. That's a differential of almost 30%. So if you could explain why why is there such a large range of growth that you have, potential growth that you have mentioned post Q4 FY24?
I'll just so the idea, and we were expecting obviously this question to come up at some point. What we mean by that is that if certain factors beyond our control, they don't improve, and we think they will. However, if they don't improve, even very bad case scenario, we are still looking at a 10 to 12, 15, somewhere like a 10 to 12% growth even then. But in case things on the export side start to normalize as they have been a year ago or 2 years ago, then we can straight away see that jump of growth even go beyond, well beyond 30%, 35%. So although it does look odd, but that is the rationale behind us putting it in that range. Because certain factors that can create, give us that jump within that next year are beyond our control. So it's important that we identify and see how the market situation goes and these macro factors, how they have an impact on the general economic situation.
So what I'm trying to understand here is that Mr. Karnav mentioned that the smart meter business that we have, we are potentially looking to double that over next year. And that business, I am roughly, as per my understanding, is around 20-25% of our business.
No, 25% of the energy meter business, which includes shunts for non-smart meters as well. So it's not 25% of overall business. No. The actual percentage of smart meters alone as a percentage of total sales is small. So yes, you're right. We will see rapid growth in smart meters, but it will take a few more years for it to reach. At some point, it may touch that kind of a number as well in the future, depending on how quickly the government implements this and whether it's actually done in a period of 5 years and not, 15 or 10. But, since it's a government-related thing, there are certain ifs and buts attached to it. However, looking at it somewhere in the middle, not very optimistically, also not very conservatively, we see that it could be a 10-year period, and in which we see that, just in the next 1 or 2 years, although it may double, but it will not show to be that large a percentage of total business because it's still a small percentage of total revenue.
So what is it as of now?
Kanav, what would be the correct answer to that? The total, if we were to look at the smart meter business out of total revenue?
Smart business, actually, if you look at out of total revenue, because it's 20% of our shunt business, basically, that's what we're doing right now. And out of that, at the moment, shunt business is about close to about 40% of the total revenue. So you can estimate about 10% of our total sales.
So 10% of our total revenue. Which, yeah. You're right, with the market information and the market requirements that we have, can double in revenue as well.
Yeah.
And so last question, the contracts that we are looking to finalize, I'm assuming these are for our export customers, right?
Yes, export as well as domestic.
Okay. Because a quarter back in the conference call, you had mentioned that because the global economy is facing headwinds, and the shunt side or the EV or the shunt side on the export segment might take 3 or 4 years to really pick up, and till then the domestic smart meter business might. So is there a change in that understanding?
We are very confident and hopeful of the domestic market for sure. And for the export market also, we said that we are seeing that, as I said, more customer engagement now. So we are seeing that there's a lot more movement happening now on these new requirements and new contracts, and we are working on them. That's why I said we are talking for both domestic as well as export market, not alone export.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot. Best of all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Apurv Singh from Pancharatna Investors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, am I audible? Yeah, hi. So, congrats on the decent set of numbers and
any business goes through certain off time. And I think what one of you mentioned was that you're using it for the process improvement, which is a very interesting answer. And I would want to know what kind of process improvements you're doing and what is kind of the business impact which you're seeing because of that. Or you are envisioning what kind of impact from that process improvements.
So in terms of process improvements, basically our focus over the last few years, in fact, has been on automation, on detection systems in process, and also especially in the last few quarters, we've been focusing more on in-process inspection and, you know, with AI and with certain non-contact measurement systems being put in place. So we had some time also to experiment with certain technologies in terms of optics, in terms of sensors, where we could detect potential faults or potential variations in production before the end product was completed. So one aspect was that, and the second aspect was a lot of these automation systems also provide real-time data, which can be analyzed to give batch-to-batch, lot-to-lot, material heat to material heat analysis, giving us a much better and a deeper understanding of how certain incoming variables impact the overall quality of the product. So in terms of process improvement, primarily we've been focusing more on the data analysis on from in-process inspection systems, optical systems, as well as end-of-line online inspection.
Got it. Just one question follow-up to this only, that are we trying to kind of put an objective number on what kind of bottom funnel impact this kind of process improvements will lead to? Because this is a very interesting step. And I think investors would be really happy to know the kind of bottom line impact this eventually creates, right? Sometimes, obviously not at the start, but eventually if we start measuring, we will surely figure out what kind of things it is changing at that bottom funnel. Just a suggestion.
See, actually, at this stage, it's still a little early to put a number on that. Basically, yeah. how this helps out is... In the most basic sense, one is to reduce rejections. One is to reduce certain level of rework, and more importantly, to also cut down on the overall manufacturing lead time. So, with these things put in place, it'll take a little bit of time before you start seeing an impact in terms of the final figures. But the idea is to improve overall efficiency, to increase productivity and yield, and to reduce rework and rejection. So, I mean, ballpark, we're looking at approximately at about a 2% of gross margin as a target that we want to achieve by putting these kind of actions in place.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm done for these questions. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praful Kumar from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up opportunity. So Kabir, same on that thing, in terms of robotics and AI, can you maybe spend 2-3 more minutes on what exactly are the, is it the new machines that you have got, any new installations coming through over the next 6 months, and does the target of gross margins savings of 2% looks more, you know, achievable over the next, say, couple of years? And also any interactions from the global, you know, OEMs. So maybe if you're doing some pilots for, you know, brands like BYD or any other guys you're working with, any visibility on that would be very, very useful. And thirdly, final question would be, if the inventory, you know, starts, since you said it's a 3 to 9 month process, we have already seen a couple of quarters already. So what's the exit we see, say, normalization of inventories and this destocking being done with and you coming back to growth. So we can expect, say, 15-odd% growth, you know, this year as well towards the exit. That run rate should be doable.
Okay, so I'll start with the first one. In terms of, let's say, new equipment or new machines, it's a combination. Yes, there's been multiple lines that have been added. There's been a lot of focus, a lot of effort that's been put in the end of line, fully automated inspection, calibration, packaging, and testing. So that's one side of it. And we are adding continuously further lines as certain product lines increase in volumes, it reaches a point where it has to go into automation, because you cannot rely then just on statistical analysis or sampling-based inspection. So those lines, as we are moving forward, as those volumes for each part line increases, they go into a fully automated setup. As far as your second part of that question, as far as AI and you know, data analysis is concerned, this is a two-part thing where we are employing both optics and sensor-based, you know, let's say lasers or other types of detection for critical dimensions, for critical features of the part. So that data is being collected on a real-time basis, and like I said a little earlier, this data is then presented in a fairly you know, kind of a consolidated format where we can then narrow it down to how each process is performing in terms of the day, the shift, the person, the raw material supplier, the type of product line, and you know, we can really carve out whatever we are looking for in terms of that information. So that helps zero in on what to attack to you know, to improve certain productivity levels or to reduce certain rework or rejection levels. So that's where that's being employed, and that's being done both on the in-process side and also at the end of line aspect of it.
Any pilots you're working with on the OEM side? And finally,
yes,
on the destocking side, if that normalizes, then we should still see growth coming back since the utilizations are just 30-35% across businesses.
Yeah, so there are continuous projects that are going on, even regardless of how the overall situation or the macros work, but there are continuous new product developments going on. And as we discussed in the past also, a lot of these automotive projects are long, you know, qualification timelines. So, you know, you may start with the prototype sample and it can take sometimes close to a year before all their internal testing is complete, R-end testing at R-end is complete. So these types of pilot projects are going on, and they are continuously being added on a you know, week to week or a month to month basis.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinay Ambedkar. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
I just wanted to know that you know, it is good that we have levers in place where our growth in bimetal division is offsetting the slowdown in the shunts division. To an extent that you know, the overall turnover is almost the same compared to previous years. Can you give a sense of whether this level of offset will be to an extent that it only, you know, it's only to that extent where a bimetal growth just about compensates for the shunt degrowth, or over the next remainder part of this financial year, we see a situation where bimetal growth can actually far exceed the slowdown in shunt, and you know, therefore we are able to post a decent growth for the full year. I mean, if it's possible to give some sense around that.
I think we are very hopeful and confident that we should be able to maintain the growth level that we are already showcasing. So we hope and we are confident that we will be at about similar levels in terms of growth, so that in case, even if there is no, I would say, improvement we see in the next quarter or so from the shunt side, we should be able to manage the overall performance and should be better than what we did last year.
I'll just like to add one more thing to this. So the primary reason of our of us increasing our capacity in bimetal was because of what we could foresee in the demand that we have from our existing customers as well as some new opportunities. Now, those are in development stages and some of them have already materialized into business. So those will continue to show a very good result or a very good improvement and growth percentage as far as bimetal is concerned. Along with that, if the domestic market continues to grow, that's even a further bonus for us for the bimetal business. But after these hiccups of slowdown of a couple of quarters, in, as Kanav just mentioned,
Once that starts to pick up, we will see very good overall growth, and hence going back to that earlier question, why we kept that bigger range of percentage possibility.
Got it, got it. So basically, are we seeing some bottoming out of the shunts degrowth, or we think that there could be some more short-term pain in terms of actually numbers going down further from here?
I think we've seen the pain aspect of it already reached its maximum level. Now from this point onwards, we may see it remain like this for some time and then eventually pick up from there.
Right. Okay. So our shunts, at what capacity utilization will be operating with that right now compared to earlier, you know, when the demand was quite good?
Just a sec.
Is it possible to give a number?
Kabir, would you want to take that?
Yeah. So shunts would be roughly at about close to about 40%.
Okay. And during the good times, it would be what percentage?
See, actually, this as far as the you know, the shunt capacity is concerned, usually it's a scalable model. So we, as we've done in the past, also we've got certain processes and certain equipment that we build in-house, we design and build in-house, and there are certain things that we have vendors and suppliers where designs are already frozen. So usually when we see a ramp up happen or we see a forecast which has strong visibility, we can ramp up in a matter of, you know, five to six months for critical processes. So that grows with the overall demand.
Okay, okay. Fair enough. Thank you so much. My last point is, do we see some opportunity in the 5G rollout in India? Because I believe we had some European customers with whom we were doing some 5G business, which saw a bit of a slowdown. If you could just share whether you are seeing any improvement there, and then talk about whether we have any potential domestically.
Yes, we are in world when it comes to the 5G rollout here in India. We supply our components do go into energy storage applications. So UPS inverter applications for all these towers and stuff will use our products as well. And we're very much part of this.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Kanav. Thank you, Sumer, Kabir, and Rajiv. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Deepak. So thank you for your participation in today's conference call and for being part of Shivalik Growth Journey. We look forward to continuing our dialogue with you in the future. Thank you all and happy Diwali. Have a good evening.
On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.